Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Rich man or woman says, I've got it made. God comes and drills a disastrous hole right slap dab in the middle of that life that was phony. What, ladies and gentlemen, does it profit a man or woman who gains the whole world and loses their soul?
The truth is, surrendering your resources to Christ will change your life. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young finishes his message, Money Makes Us Fools, and reveals what happens when you invest in God's kingdom instead of investing in the world. Don't go anywhere. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we're excited to tell you that this past year has been the most significant in The Winning Walk history. More people than ever are responding to the instabilities of life with hearts and minds open to the good news, the proven truth of God's Word. But now is not the time to let up. As we approach the close of our financial year on March 31, we need your help to finish strong, fully prepared for what God has in the coming months. And thanks to a $50,000 challenge, your gift today goes further to help more people discover the proven truth of God's Word. So call today to give and meet this challenge in full before the month ends. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Money Makes Us Fools, Part 2.
You see, Jesus was talking about material things because so many times possessions end up possessing you and possessing me before we know it. And then this man said, hey, tell my brother to get right about the inheritance. And look how Jesus answered this with a question. Isn't that interesting? He was interrupted. Here's his question that he asked. He said, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter over you? Jesus saying, I'm not to judge you. Does that surprise you? Jesus said he's not a judge. Why, all the way through the scripture, we talk about Jesus being a judge. We've already talked about the final judgment, the sheep and the goat. He's going to be a judge, right? He's always drawing lines and separating people. If you're not for me, you're against me. He's been judging throughout his ministry. And this guy says, hey, tell my brother to get right with me. He said, I'm not a judge or an arbiter over you. And in the same 12th chapter, Jesus says he is a judge. I want you to look at this. Evidently, he's contradicted himself at first blush. Look at verse 49, chapter 12, Luke. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and now I wish it were already kindled, but I have a baptism to undergo. That was the cross. How distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men? Jesus saying he didn't come to grant peace? Oh, a lot of contradictory things here. Peace on earth, I tell you no, but rather division. Division. Maristo, same word up here. He said, I didn't come to maristo. He said, here I came to provide maristo. I didn't come to divide or judge. Oh yes, I came to divide and judge. What does this mean? When the man asked for justice in the inheritance, Jesus said, I didn't come here to judge or to be an arbiter with you. What was he saying to that man? What he's saying to all of us, ladies and gentlemen, God isn't interested in anybody giving anything to him until, first of all, you've given yourself. That's what the Lord is interested in. God is not going to help you with anything or me with anything until we've given him our everything. Relationship with God in Christ is primary. That's what Jesus came to establish. And this man would say, Jesus, help me with my agenda. Man, I want the wealth and the property I was left. Jesus said, I didn't come here to judge, to be an arbiter between you and your brother, to help you with your agenda. I came here to take your agenda and make it my agenda. See the difference? See the difference? And that's what he's saying to this man. Take your agenda. Oh, no. So if you go to God and say, Lord, I did this for you and I gave over here. The worst thing anybody can do who is an unbeliever is to give anything and any money to the body of Christ. You want to end up on a dead end street. You give as an unbeliever saying, well, I gave this to the church and that's the worst thing you... Man, God doesn't want your money. The church doesn't want your money. The only thing we're interested in is we give ourselves. That's what it's all about. That's what Jesus was saying to this guy. Man, I'm here. You have to give yourself. You have to join these group of disciples over here before you get in the giving business. I'd say that to anybody here today. When I'm interested, I'm not here saying, oh, the church trying to get us to give some money. Absolutely not. Our Heavenly Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. In fact, he even owns the hills. He's interested in you and me giving everything to him, and then everything is open to you and me. So he answers this accusation, this challenge with a question. And then there's a big warning sign up here. Look at this. I wish I could sound off some kind of foghorn now. Oh, oh, oh. Everybody, wake up. Wake up. Man, Jesus says beware. When Jesus said beware, I would advise you and me to beware, wouldn't you? That's a pretty big thing. He said to them, beware, be on your guard against every, watch this, form of greed. For not even when one has abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Every form, greed has so many forms. You can be rich and be greedy. You can be poor and be greedy. In my family, I came up in a blue-collar home, hourly employee. My mother and dad had the same income. My mother didn't work. So we had one income, but my mother was very tight with everything. I mean, my mother was like this her whole life. Greedy, hold on. Not much, but she held on to everything she got a hold of. Let me tell you that, I was there. My dad, they had the same togetherness, same amount of funds that he made with his job. He just had an open hand. He was generous. Hey, this stuff, generous. No greed there, just generosity. Isn't that something? So you'd be rich and be greedy, and be poor and be greedy. That's not the issue here. And so Jesus here then comes and tells us a story. It is a devastating story. Let me read it to you. The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Let me paraphrase that. Here's a man who's an entrepreneur. Everything he invests in, just he makes money. Anything he expands, it fills up. All of a sudden, he's just a little over 40, and he's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. He's poured himself into the economic stream, and he's been successful. He's built a giant company that is expanding, and finally he says, I've got enough. I'm going to turn all of this over to all the employees and assistants that I have trained, and I'm out of here. I'm going to take the profits, and man, I've worked so hard, I don't even know my wife. I've been married to her 25 years. I'm leaving her. My kids, they didn't turn out too well, and I don't care about my family. I am starting over. I am going to get a bigger yacht. I'm going to get a faster and bigger plane, and I'm going to tour this world, and I'm going to bring all the beautiful women that'll go with me and all those who are in the jet set climate to go with me. And I'll tell you, I'm going to eat and drink and be merry, and Hugh Hefner will have nothing on me. Let the good times roll, baby. That's it, isn't it? That's it, isn't it? Now, before we tear that guy's head off, okay, before we chop him up, let's get two or three things straight. Number one, is there anything wrong with being a success? Absolutely not. Somebody who works hard, is faithful, little things or big things, it makes no difference. Nothing wrong with being a success. All anybody needs, by the way, is a VCR. You know that, don't you? Only thing anybody needs is a VCR. Vittles, clothes, and a roof. VCR. That's all we need. Everything else is relative. But there's nothing wrong with being successful. Nothing wrong with taking success and enjoying it. Nothing wrong with being successful. It's nothing wrong with planning ahead, is it? We live one day at a time. We live as though we'll die tomorrow. That's wise, but it's prudent to plan ahead, to think ahead. That's good. That's fine. That's smart. That's taught in the Bible. Is it wrong to expand your business, to expand your horizon? Nothing wrong with that. According to opportunity and gifts that we have, we can expand. Nothing wrong with that. So let's go on record before we lacerate this guy that what he did was right. The bigger barns, the expansion, the vision, the success. Nothing wrong with that. Where did he mess up? Where did he mess up his life? Where did he fail? Let's look at that. First place he failed was, he thought life was primarily about the body. Ah, hedonism, pleasure. Satisfy the flesh. Boy, that's what life is all about. If I can get more flesh, I'm in my early 40s. I got another 30, 40 years to live. And man, I'm going to enjoy it and enjoy it. And I'm going to drink all the pleasure I can find in every activity on the planet, every athletic event, every Super Bowl, every fair. I'm going to go out there and enjoy all the cotton candy of the world. The body, he thought this is all there is. That was primary with him. Other problem he had was he didn't think about anybody else. It was all about me. He really had an eye problem. Look at this passage here. There are 11 personal pronouns there. I, me, myself, mine, my soul. By the way, you think your soul belongs to you? Where did you get it? Where did it come from? That eternal spark of life when we were created in the image of God. You think your soul is my soul, I'll tell my soul. No thought of others. Finally, it had no thought of God, that's for sure. I wonder who gave the sunshine for his crops that were bound. I wonder, you know, where the rain came. I wonder how the market was timed perfectly. I wonder, you know, where'd all that come from? No concept of divine intervention, divine leadership, divine blessing. See? That was his problem. And then in the middle of this life of celebration, a life of moving out, moving away, drinking all of life in, you've got two little words here in our scripture. Look at them. They're just dynamite. It says, verse 20, "But God said to him, 'You fool,'" not an intellectual fool, but a moral and spiritual fool. He had the idea that life was just all stuff. He didn't know that when you leave this life, what do you have over there? If you just died right now, bang, how much would you be worth? Well, I don't know. No. In that other place, in that spiritual, permanent, supernatural dimension, how much would you be worth? But God, tonight, your soul required of you. But I'm a young man. Have you noticed, God, we just don't die in chronological order? Anybody notice that? I'm amazed how many people younger and younger are being taken out of this life for so many reasons. I'm amazed at that. It staggers me. Unexpected, oh. But it's becoming commonplace. But God, tonight, your soul required of you. He died tonight. And then look what happened. So is the man who stores up treasure in for himself and is not rich toward God. This night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have possessed? The question here that Jesus is asking you and me is, we're rich with ourselves as we can be, right? Are we rich with God? How can you determine where you and whether I am rich with God? You're rich with God if you make much and you give much. You make some, you give some. Very fair. You're rich with God if you plan for forever. In other words, you say, you can't send it on ahead. Yes, you can. Invest in kingdom. Invest in his body, the church. It goes on forever. Invest in people that Jesus died for. It goes on forever. Your house, your bonds, your security, your cards, whatever you got that you're hoping to count on, retire hour, all that's going to go. It's going to go, well, I'm going to leave it to my children. Have you noticed how the second and third generation doesn't take care of stuff as well as those who made the stuff? Have y'all noticed that? Anybody run into that? That's not going to stop. If you make much, you give much. That's how you're generous with God. You plan forever. You invest in this life and things that are going to be there after you take your last breath. That's how you do it. That's how it works. What else happens when we're rich with God? We hold this stuff loosely, you know? It doesn't take much for your possessions to possess you. For your possessions, your position to say, well, I'm secure, you know, I've got plans. I have worked this out. When we get life out of balance, there's another factor to giving. Remember I said Jesus teaches that generosity is the basic determining factor of what a Christian is and what a Christian does. It really does. So we breathe in. We take in stuff. I'm taking in stuff. I'm expanding. I'm having more and more. But then you have to breathe out. We receive, we take in. But you can't just keep receiving. You'll explode. There's a whole balance of nature. We breathe in oxygen, we breathe out carbon dioxide. The animal, the plants breathe out carbon dioxide. They breathe in what? Carbon dioxide. They breathe out oxygen. If you only breathe in, boom. That's the way a lot of people live their lives. I just like John D. Rockefeller was asked, remember, how much money does it take to satisfy somebody, John D.? He said, just a little more. You see, we empty our barns. God fills them. We have to build bigger barns. We empty them. God fills them with bigger barns. That's the genius of divine biblical stewardship. A German machine tool company invented a bit that was strong enough to pierce the toughest steel ever put together. And this bit was as small as a human hair. Get that. A German machine tool company. A bit that was as small as a human hair that would pierce any piece of steel.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And as we prepare to close out this financial year, you can play a vital role to keep encouraging others like you with the foundational truths of Scripture. Your gift today will help reach over 1 million television viewers and nearly 150,000 radio listeners around the world every week, many of whom have never heard the gospel. Plus, you'll help encourage tens of thousands with weekly devotional emails. And thanks to a $50,000 challenge, your support will go even further to share proven truth with more people than ever before. So call now to give and help expand the reach of The Winning Walk in the months ahead. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411.
I used to listen to a lot of political talk radio going to and from work. And when I was at work all day, I'd listen to the news, and it was pretty tough to listen to. It was an emotional thing, and I would come home after being in traffic all day and fill in my days with the negativity that I would experience. I was kind of unpleasant to be around. My wife suggested that I change the channel. So I started listening to Dr. Young in the mornings on Winning Walk. Once I turned off the negativity and turned on the positivity, that it affected me greatly. I used to get angry easily, and now it's not really even an issue any longer.
It's changed him dramatically. I mean, it's evident. Like, people have commented, not only to myself but to him, about how different he is.
I can tell that I'm just an overall better person than I used to be. And I know that my wife absolutely loves it.
It's encouraging to hear how God softens hearts and changes lives through the good news that is only found in Jesus Christ. This month marks the end of our fiscal year, and your support at this time is critical as we plan for the year ahead. When you give generously as you've been blessed, this enables us the opportunity to buy airtime and to get the word out to more and more people through radio, television, online. We have a challenge goal through the 31st of this month of $50,000. I'm asking you to consider giving a special gift to help us meet this goal. Over this past year, God has used your partnership to expand the Winning Walk to reach more and more people than ever before. As the broadcast continues to make a difference for the kingdom of God, you can be a part of that work when you give. As God has privileged you, as you are able, let me tell you, you can be a blessing to countless people. Let me personally thank you again for supporting the Winning Walk.
Your gift today goes even further to encourage others like you with a solid rock of God's proven truth. So call today to give and help others build their life on the strong foundation of Jesus. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us next week as Dr. Young encourages you to have the greatest impact for Christ by handling your money wisely.